What comes to your mind when you see something like this?
That is what they're trying to do. But it actually goes a level deeper than that. Satanists, people who worship Satan, believe in karmic retribution.
Parents might be stunned to learn that Bruno's version of love and acceptance means handing out sex toys to underage students.
Balenciaga is one of the world's most expensive clothing brands in the world.
I had like our LGBTQ plus health center come in. They were passing around.
This is why they show you and tell you what they're doing.
Peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Dean Show.
Good, I love you, Marissa. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. How you doing? Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Dean Show. And we have two esteemed guests with us, starting from my right to my left, Dr. Sabil Ahmed and Dr. Kareem Abu Zaid. How you doing, Shaykh?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamd.
I want to get in straight into this news that hit. It didn't hit mainstream news, some local news. Not even local news. You just had some independent journalists who went and had a hidden camera. And this is one of the deans of a children's school being recorded in this video. So let's go ahead and play this and we'll get your guys' reaction to it.
I had like our LGBTQ plus health center come in. They were passing around butt plugs and dildos to my students, talking about queer sex, using lube versus using spit.
Meet Joe Bruno, Dean of Students at the prestigious Francis W. Parker Private School in Chicago, which happens to charge $40,000 per student.
They're just like passing around dildos, butt plugs. The kids are just playing with them. They're like, how does this butt plug work? How do we do, like, how does this work? That's a really, like, cool part of my job.
Parents might be stunned to learn that Bruno's version of love and acceptance means handing out sex toys to underage students.
So I've been the dean for 4 years. During Pride, we do a Pride Week every year. And I had like, our LGBTQ plus health center come in. They were passing around butt plugs and dildos to my students, talking about queer sex, using lube versus using spit.
Who is this?
This is an LGBTQ plus health center came in to talk to my high school students.
Nice.
They're just like passing around dildos, butt plugs. The kids are just playing with them. They're looking at them.
In the school?
In a classroom.
Wow.
Yeah. While I'm sitting there. Then we had a drag queen come in, pass out cookies and brownies and do photos.
It's so amazing. And everybody's cool with that, like the plugs and the dildos.
Yeah.
Nobody complains.
No.
I mean, if the parents found out, would they?
No. It's queer sex. This is the drag queen that came in.
What's her name?
Alexis Bevels.
Alexis Bevels.
And just hung out in my classroom.
And was there?
Or hung out in my office.
You have so much freedom. So much wiggle room.
So much freedom. So much money.
I mean,
to do stuff.
Trustees are okay with that too? They don't know.
Okay.
Dean of Students, you send your child to go to school to learn how to read, write, math, science, sociology, you know, all the different subjects that they teach. And then they bring in the health, someone from the health department who's throwing around sex toys. What do you, what was your reaction when you, what comes to your mind when you see something like this?
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. There is an authentic hadith, Eddie, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, do not wish for death. You know, do not wish to die. But say, oh Allah, make life or make me live as long as life is good for me. And send me to death, cause me to die, if death is good for me and life is no longer good for you. And subhanAllah, you know, sitting and I wouldn't even imagine in my life that this would be a subject of discussion. You know, stuff like that is top of the line of decay. moral decay. And, you know, this person that you showed us is a non-Muslim. This, you know, Welsh guy.
Oh, the Matt Walsh?
The Matt Walsh guy, yeah, is a non-Muslim. And, you know, I had a conversation with Dr. Seville right before the shooting this show. And he confirmed that he heard that statement from him saying that...
That I will not stop. Even if they kill me, I will not stop pushing back.
Matt Walsh
mentioned that, yes.
And where are we, Muslims? Where are we? How come these public figures in the Muslim world are not speaking against this? How come they are not? How come we're not engaged into this activism? You think it's not going to come to you? It's going to come right to your door. See, the Prophet, you know, depicted this in a beautiful way when he said, imagine a group of people got on a ship. Some of them got the upper level and the other got the lower level. What the people in the lower level wanted to do? They thought they were doing something good, by the way. They had good intention. Oh, let's accommodate everybody. But this is a hole in the ship that will bring us all down.
So do you feel that more of the community leaders, the imams, the scholars who are out there, they need to be more of a voice?
100%. Uh-huh. We should be taking the lead, not this Welsh. Uh-huh. Muslim should be taking the lead.
Is this something that Christians, Jews, people of other faiths who also, they want to send their kids to learn math, reading, science, they don't want them passing around these sex toys?
This is crazy. This is...
Or being taught how to have sex with the opposite gender, or at all. I mean, what people are doing in their private bedrooms. They don't want this out there, their children being exposed to this. I don't think that's something unreasonable, unrational. I mean...
Yeah, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. This is not the first time I saw that video. Every time when I see the same video, I'm not sure why I'm seeing that many times, speechless, shocking, and fearful. Mm-hmm. So many emotions comes to my mind. But what also comes to my mind right away is that we are the ones, Muslims are the ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that assignment, the role, to be the moral leaders for humanity. So one time, just last week, we had a small conference in one of the masajids, and a brother asked me the question, you know, Brother Sabil, why all of these things are happening right in front of our eyes? I mentioned to that brother, there is a stage, and then there are audience all around the stage. We are supposed to be on the stage, educating humanity, morally, legally, spiritually, any which way, right? Educating humanity. We went away from the stage. Some other people are now on the stage, and they are the ones who have become the spokespeople for morality. For that reason, we see these things right in front of our eyes.
Wow, that's powerful. I was thinking, just imagine you're at a friend's house and you're at a high rise. And I really want this picture to sink in. And now, one of the persons up there, he might have listened to some song. You know, they got some song out there from back in the day, I Believe I Can Fly. So now he feels like he's an eagle, a bird. He's about to jump, right? I mean, any person, if he loves this person, he would say, hey, stop. It's obvious. You're not an eagle. You can't fly. And you want the best for someone. You love your friend, your family member. Would you let him jump?
Exactly.
Why are they doing this now to the children? You know, this is, people can understand this analogy, right? But over here, they're chopping off body parts, you know, and people are, and they're pushing this stuff on the children at such a young, tender age.
You know, if a patient goes to a doctor saying that, you know, I don't think I should have my left arm, please take it off. They would never do it. They may even call, you know, the police and the legal system, saying that this guy is crazy. How come he wants his, you know, arm chopped off? The next day, if a girl goes in saying that I want to do the top surgery, I don't feel like a woman, I want to be a man. They will say, how can we help you? We are all here, the team is all here to support you. Look at the disparity. Mm-hmm.
Just to answer your question regarding the children, it is a satanic scheme, plot. And I'll give you an evidence. You know, I like always to provide an evidence. Hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, hadith fi Sahih Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam tells us that every day Satan places his throne on water in the morning at sunrise. And as the his armies from the jinn, from his race, he's a jinni, come to start their work, he will give them an incentive by saying, من أضل اليوم مسلما ألبسته التاج. Whoever does the best job today in mischief, in causing damage, I will prize you today. I'll place a crown on your head tonight.
This is the main devil.
This is the Iblis, the one who refused to...
The Christians might know as Lucifer.
Lucifer, yeah. The one who refused...
You can use the same as Lucifer. Yeah, yeah. They say Lucifer, Iblis. That's the main devil.
Yes. The one who is living, Allah giving him the respite, that he is to live until the day of judgment. So he is...
And he's now talking to the little devil, the, what would you call them, the little devils?
Yes.
His prodigy.
The one who died.
Yeah.
You see, we believe, there is a hadith of Ibn Abbas fi Kitab al-Tawheed, وَالْجِنُّ وَالْإِنسُ يَمُوتُونَ. Jinn and human, they die. But Iblis doesn't die. Because he requested that respite until Judgment Day. So Allah granted him that. So in any rate, so these jinnis, he would give them that incentive. So they would go about their business throughout the day. At sunset, he places his throne in water again in order to encourage those who are about to initiate the work at night and reward those. He's very punctual, and he doesn't, by the way, he doesn't take a day off.
He shows up to work, no vacation.
He never...
24/7 they work,
yeah,
I guess.
He's working hard, yeah. So, Al-Hasan al-Basri even, while somebody asked him, أَيَنَامُ Iblis? Does Iblis ever sleep? قَالَ لَوْ نَامَ لَاسْتَرَحْنَا. If he would take a nap, we'd have a break. We'd have a break. In any rate, the jinni will come reporting their accomplishments throughout the day. This is hadith, by the way. I'm just explaining it in my own words. So one of them will say, today I was able to get a Muslim to commit adultery. Although it's a major sin, we're not belittling that. He would say, good job. That's a great thing. I was able to get a Muslim to kill another Muslim. Oh, I love that. I got him to intoxicate, to, you know, he went to some country where they told him marijuana is legal. So legal, he said, legal means halal, you know. It's still haram, but he associated this with that. And I convinced him, I made him, they said it's legal. That means it's halal, you know. I got him to think of alcohol to be spiritual drinks, you know. I got this lady to give up her hijab because of fashion, because... He's impressed by all of those until this one stands up and says, I did not leave a husband and wife until I separated them. They got divorced.
Broke the family now.
Yeah. Na'ma ant. He will say, you are my man. Come out. In a wording of this hadith, by the way, فَيَلْتَزِمُهُ. He will hug him. And he will place the crown on him.
So you're connecting this hadith now to the bigger scheme of things, breaking
the children,
family, the children, family structure.
Who suffers in a divorce?
Children.
Children. Who pays the price in a divorce?
Children.
He will have weaker generations to sway. To.
So same thing happening here.
Exactly.
Affecting the children. The
affecting,
family.
Yes, affecting the children and going after the children. I'll give you another example just to drive my point across to you. Why in the world did the Pharaoh decide to slaughter, literally, to slaughter the newborn?
Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh. Why? because they were a threat to his scheme, to his plan. You understand? You know, if you read the hadith, Al-Futun is called, fi Sunan al-Nasa'i, a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that the Pharaoh initially saw a dream that a fire came from the east, burned all the houses of the Egyptians, and it did not burn any of the houses of the Muslims at the time, because Bani Israel were the Muslims at the time. So he asked his council, what is that? He said, well, these guys are talking about the birth of a child who will destroy you, who will. So basically, the established system now, whatever it is, they want to maintain the future. And the only way you can do this is by working on the next generation. They already got us. So they are winning so far. You see, they got us. They managed to get their plan in action. People are intimidated to speak about them. Tell me how many Muslims speakers, how many du'at, they consider this subject a threat to them, a threat to the community. And because they are intimidated, he's afraid that he may get in trouble with the law. He may not be invited to this conference next.
What about because you, by profession, you're a medical doctor, and now you're full time of educating people on Islam. And what about you? Have many family members who are doctors, and so many. What's the percentage of Muslims who are doctors? And how them speaking from us, not just from a religious standpoint, but also from a medical standpoint of the harms of this.
Yes, so I totally align with our dear Sheikh here. We should have more speakers, more activists, knowing this topic and speaking about this topic to educate the people from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from biology, psychology, physiology, right? So there are so many qualified doctors. You know, according to one data, 10% of physicians in the USA, they are Muslims. Yeah, in some cities, you know, Dearborn and New York, maybe higher percentage. So these physicians, mashallah, they need to step up and they need to speak out. And they need to provide references, obviously, from the Quran, Sunnah, from journals and whatnot. So we need to do it because, as I mentioned, if we don't do it, then who will? Everybody else is throwing in the towel. So we are the ones Allah has assigned this humongous moral responsibility, spiritual responsibility, to direct the people about who is the creator, what is the purpose of life, what are the solutions, how to go to paradise. These bigger connections we need to make with the society. Mm-hmm. You know, as I mentioned before, as I always mention, these are all the fires which are out there in the society. Yes, we can have teams to fight each one of the fires. However, a better strategy would be to make sure that we connect humanity with the Creator. Mm-hmm. And show them there is a Creator, this is the purpose of life, you know, there would be accountability, you have to stand in front of the Creator. So that was the prophetic way. So I'm not saying that we should not go after all of these fitnas in the society. We should. But then there should be a long-term plan of connecting the creation with the Creator, the bigger realities of life.
There's an individual that many people gravitate to, and he talks about some of these issues. And now, instead of, like you're saying, many of the community leaders talking about them and being a better example to the youth and others, you have other people who kind of fill that void and that gap. And you might have heard of this famous, he was one of the most famous individuals in the world, Andrew Tate. And he talks about also how he came to believe in God because two opposite forces. He saw all this evil, what they're trying to do to the children, chopping off body parts and, you know, convincing a woman that now this other person comes into the bathroom. No, that's actually not a man in the bathroom, that's a woman. He's like right in front of your eyes, you know? So this convinced him there's got to be a higher power God. Then he went towards Christianity, and then he came finally to Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, increase him really in the proper knowledge so he can be a better example, because many people gravitate to many of these things that he's bold enough to talk about, where many Muslims themselves are lacking to talk about these things.
I think a lot of Muslims, brothers, just to give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, the imams and the speakers, they are afraid of the consequences. Alhamdulillah, probably are aware of, both of you are aware of AIM, Authentic Al Mission. We actually invited a lawyer, a brother, his name is Yunus. He used to be a Jew, actually, who accepted Islam, and he is advocate for Islam now. So we put together something called Sharia Defense, and we invited him to the last AIM conference in Colorado, in Denver, and he actually presented. He said, and this message goes to every imam out there, as long as you reference the Quran and Sunnah, no one can come near you. And subhanAllah, you know, we're talking about this last night when Allah revealed over 80 verses in the Quran about Qawm Lut,
yeah,
about what their agenda is. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to tell you something. I'm going to believe my Lord, my Creator. Those guys' agenda are to turn you, them. Look what they said to Lut and his family. Lut and his family. What did they say? Get them out of here. Expel them from this town because they want to stay pure. They recognize that they are impure. They want to stay straight. So their agenda is not only your children, you. They're going to come after you. That's their agenda. You can imagine even the guests of Lut. The two angels, of course, for them, they were human because they took on human forms. So that's their agenda. And again, I'm not saying this in a context of inciting hate or anything. No. I'm just letting you know that this is how those guys are going about it.
Yeah, so like you said, that's a good point. Nobody's inciting violence, hate, bullying, none of those things. But at the same time, you can't have our children being exposed to things that are going to harm them and that we don't agree with as parents. Like, for instance, you had just recently Balenciaga, a famous, very famous brand. I just heard about it recently. And then they had in their ad, they had a child dressed in bondage. And then they had a document, all these subliminals. You would think this is some kind of conspiracy, but right, it's like they're showing you right in front of your face. I don't know if you guys heard of this, Balenciaga. And then they had a court document of a pedophilia case there. So they were, and then all these other things in the video. Did you hear about this?
I have not yet.
No. So this is,
he's trying to convince people of his.
So they pulled it.
Yeah.
You know, people protested. They pulled it. We'll show this. People will be able to see this.
It's easy to write off smart people doing stupid things to incompetence or haste, but this one just, it doesn't make sense. First, the facts. Balenciaga is one of the world's most expensive clothing brands in the world, and for some reason, their Christmas ad campaign included pictures of a child with a bear. When you zoom in on the bear, it's dressed, shall we say, unusually. People who know about these things say its outfit is inspired by bondage outfits used in certain sex acts. This, in and of itself, is troubling. Then there's another ad. You zoom in on it, and you see the papers laying around the bag that is being advertised is printouts of a child pornography case, specifically United States versus Williams in 2008, that upheld the law making child porn illegal. Next, add to the celebrities who endorse Balenciaga. It's a who's who, from Kim Kardashian to Hailey Bieber.
But again, you have people who get outraged on certain things that will happen in society. But again, the push, then you have another brother now, Andrew Tate, he's talking about it.
It was done on purpose, which, as we've just deciphered, it must have been. Why are they doing this? And I don't think many people understand why a brand like Balenciaga would so openly show the world that they are trying to promote pedophilia.
Tell them.
I'll tell them why. So some could argue that they're trying to advertise it and encourage it.
Normalize.
And that is the case. That is what they're trying to do. But it actually goes a level deeper than that. Satanists, people who worship Satan, believe in karmic retribution. They believe that they can suffer the consequence of lying and tricking you. So the very simple premise is this. If I sell poison apples and I write apples and you come and eat one, I poisoned you. But if I sell poison apples and I have a sign that says apples, they're poison, and you come and eat one, you committed suicide. I haven't murdered you. You've committed suicide.
That's what Satanists believe.
Satanists believe by telling you what they're doing, they don't have any karmic retribution. I'm not responsible I'm not responsible for all the negative fallout from my actions if they understood what I was doing and allowed me to do it. This is why they show you and tell you what they're doing. If I show you and tell you that we are pedophiles and you continue to buy our products, then you're supporting pedophilia and you're obviously okay with us being pedophiles. If I do it hidden behind your back, then you can argue and say, I didn't know they were pedophiles. But by showing you, I've shown you I'm a pedophile, you still want to wear my t-shirt. So obviously what I'm doing is okay. And this karmic retribution model and the way that Satanists view the world, and when I say Satanists, I genuinely mean people Satanists, who worship
real
Satan. The people who are in charge of these brands and in charge of the Western world and in charge of the Matrix genuinely worship Satan. When you understand the idea of karmic retribution, you can apply that to so many scenarios. They're doing this with everything. Karmic retribution isn't just about Balenciaga.
But then the Muslims are silent. Yeah. So when these things come out, what do you think the reaction should be from Muslims? Just the same way we're appalled, there's sometimes we'll get in on a bandwagon. It's kind of, you know, the social justice. Of course, we should be against any kind of injustice. But these things, we're just like quiet.
Some of the recommendations that I can provide would be, we should form coalitions of the imams along with interfaith partners to amplify our voice and to have that much more force with us. Secondly, there should be alliances of psychologists, alliances of the medical doctors, right? Alliances of sociologists. All of these alliances should be there because there are so many people out there who are thinking the same way we are thinking, but they may not know how to start, where to start. So that's number one. Number two would be the Imams Council. There are so many out there, right? Amja and others. And then there should be the masajis and the councils that they are there in many different states and cities, like the CIOGC in Chicago and different councils. They should get together, they should have a session about what is the proper strategy to tackle this fitna. And number third thing would be, there should be a qualified lawyers, as Imam has mentioned, not just the Sharia defense, but also especially against these issues when they come up in the masajis. Like suppose if tonight, if a man comes in dressed as a female and that guy wants to pray next to our ladies, does your masjid has a defense for it? Are you legally covered? If you stop that person, are you legally covered? Because he or she may say, well, he, right, not she. He may say that this is my right, this is my human right. This is my right to be equal. So we should have qualified lawyers standing with us. Every masjid should have policy and the lawyers. So these are some of the minimal things that we can do. Along with that, you know, we should not be afraid of LGBT, but we should be doing dawah to them. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I feel sorry for them. They're not educated. Shaitan is after them and all of that. So not only we should distance ourselves to some degree so the fitna does not come to us, but ultimately our aim should be that they should be recipients of education and dawah and who is the creator. So any and all of these strategies, we should come and you know, make like really specific structured plans. That's how we can have a good pushback. Using our scriptures, using the Quran, using the Sunnah, ultimately using the team of qualified people, inshallah.
By the way, we asked in the conference, AIM conference, the Sharia defense head lawyer about this issue of the masjids. He said, as long as, for now, but yeah. These guys are very progressive. They are changing the laws day after day. And you probably know why, because they got into the agenda of Black Lives Matter, the civil rights movement, basically. They associated themselves with, they work together, basically. So all the privileges, the civil rights movement from the 60s, get as well, in some states, of course. So he said that as long as the masjid announces their policy, they cannot violate that. Just put your policy on your website or on the walls. no one can come and violates that.
For now.
For now.
Because they have turned this into a civil rights and human rights and equal rights issue, just like the racism was.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, we cannot have in the masjid that, you know, brown people or white people or, you know, black people, they cannot come and pray, or they have to be praying in a different way, separate way. The way that we cannot have that for the race, they may come and say, you know, this is a human rights issue, you cannot have that policy or those wordings.
Mm-hmm.
So for now we can do that, but down the line there have to be other things coming to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I give that example of this university, I'm not sure, Yale or some university, not Yale. There was a Jewish campus and some kids in there, they want to open an LGBT club. And the school said, this is a private property. So that those kids, they went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court backed them, saying that they have the right, even in a private property Jewish school, mm-hmm. they have the right to open a LGBT club. So they are coming to that extent. So simple message is this, that yes, we have to be concerned, but we have to have channel our emotions into activism. We have to educate our own families. We have to create an environment in the home to such a degree that, mashallah, you say to your children, right, be a man. And we need to educate them. This is right and this is wrong. And then we need to make every single Muslim a moral activist in the society. We need to remind the Muslims, Allah has given us a humongous assignment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just to pray. It's not just to build the masajis. We are supposed to be the moral authorities.
Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to be letting people know who is the creator, connecting them with the higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Any and all of those things, we have to create them within our children and our families. And we need to do dua to the Creator.
Amen.
Ultimately, He's the one in power.
Mm-hmm. So when you know the laws, you know you have freedom of speech and you have a right to have freedom of religion. No one can force you to wear a cross, eat pork, do something against your religion. That'd be an oppression. So when you have doctors out there and they're forced, and I spoke to an attorney, said they don't have to, if they know the law, wear a certain color on their body, you know, to go ahead and unify and get in. So when you know your rights, same to tomorrow, when a Muslim doctor is approached to go off, cut off a body part from someone, you know, for them to know, are they allowed to do this shit?
No, as long as, you see, there is a religious freedom here that goes against that freedom that they are claiming to, which is really, in my opinion, has nothing to do with freedom. I mean, you see, your sexual preference is in your bedroom.
Keep it in the bedroom.
We have nothing to do with that. Why are you pushing this on my kids?
So are you saying the same way, let's say a husband, he's into, he's doing, you know, things with his wife, same thing.
As long as it is lawful.
We don't need to hear about that stuff.
It's, no.
So it's across the board.
No.
That's across the board.
Even when you go and request a fatwa, it should be in private.
Yeah.
You know, nobody needs to know about that. Yeah. You see, that's the twisted, wicked point is equating this with the civil rights movement. You see, these brothers, you know, in humanity, if they are not Muslims, or the Muslim African-American community, they were discriminated against because of their color. You can't hide your color, can you? You know, you can't go to that restaurant because you're of a certain color. You can't hide that. But your sexuality is your private thing. What do I have to do with it?
So even, people don't understand this because you live in such a loose culture that the man will come around his friends and he'll talk about the relation. These are usually non-Muslims, how he's had with his wife. It's a sin in Islam to disclose, to talk about
your wife
yeah. or your husband,
yeah, yeah.
how you guys had intimacy, this,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That is what's haram.
Yeah, yeah.
That's haram. That's a sin.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all this stuff across the board, this is immoral.
We have a treatment for all of this in the Quran and Sunnah, and that is why I call upon my brothers and sisters in the field of da'wah. Come on, brothers. Don't worry about your fans. Don't worry about your conferences. Allah, wallahi, will provide, ya akhi. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you see something bad, speak out. Speak out. And there is a threat out there that Dr. Sabeel mentioned, the dua, that, you know, if you don't do that, your dua is not going to be accepted. One of the as a consequence of being silent on grievous issues like these.
And I'm shy bringing this up, but this is in essence of just education and helping people understand where we're coming from in the Islamic perspective, because even if a husband to perform that sexual act from the wrong door, this is also something
that's haram.
That's haram. Absolutely. So intercourse, how can I put it more just softly, with even a husband with his wife, mm-hmm. that's something that's haram. No. You can't even do that. We don't.
You see, it's against the fitrah to do that. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters in Islam is a lifestyle. Islam teaches us how to go to the bathroom. In what manner should you execute? And in what manner should you enter? And should you come out? Imagine that. If you say Imam Muslim, you know, a polytheist, mushrik, rajul, a man from Bergia, met Salman. You know, Salman is Bergian, radiallahu anhu. And he asked him, your religion teaches you everything, even how to go to the bathroom. He said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my religion teaches me how. And he described to him, the Prophet told us to not to use the right hand, to use the left hand, and use at least three objects to remove the impurities from the body and make dua. Be proud of that. That this is a religion that teaches you your boundaries, your limits. Because if you cross, look at this. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. There are some boundaries, don't come near them. And there are some boundaries, don't cross them. Coming near may invite you to cross. So stay away from it. You understand? Yes. So submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is your maker, your creator. And He told you how to conduct all these things, your sexual life, your emotional life, your
blueprint for life, everything is there. Your purpose in life, the main thing, your purpose in life is there in Islam.
Eddie, you go and buy a car. What they give you with the car?
A manual.
Why they are entitled to give you that manual? Because they are the manufacturer, the maker. We may use the creator. They are the creator of the car. Who created you and me? Who? He brought down the manual. That manual instruct us how to conduct our lives. Now, if we abandon that manual and follow these satanic, it's endless.
It's a dark hole.
It's a
very dark hole. So let's end with that. You know, now there is an invitation, and we do this out of the love, mercy for humanity, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was the last and final messenger sent as a mercy to all mankind. Doesn't matter. Am I correct, Sheikh? Tell him. You know, Dr. Sabil, that doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle a person was on yesterday, today, they can come back to their creator.
Absolutely.
And change their way for the better, huh? And be forgiven.
Dr. Sabil mentioned it twice. See, look at Aisha radiallahu anha, her statement. All what we learned in Mecca was who's Allah, Jannah, and Hell. Basically, who's Allah? And if you believe in Him, submit to Him, you're going to get Jannah.
Paradise.
And if paradise. And if you decline, turn away, hellfire. Both in the worlds and the hereafter, by the way. Now, people like those, they are so much engulfed into their desires and whims. Shackled, some of them are shackled, because some of these things are addictions, by the way. They are not. So the only way for them to come out of this is connecting them with the Creator.
Turn back to the Creator.
Yeah. Imagine intoxicants. Yeah. Intoxicants,
yes.
You know. You know the hadith regarding al-khamr, intoxicants.
If it comes right away, the whole thing.
Yeah. Intoxicant. Why? Because Allah said, you know. Whoever you are out there, if you have these thoughts, if you have these tendencies, you're a human. We're all sinners. Come back to the Creator.
We're not acting now like they say we're holier than
no,
thou. We're better
no,
than
wallah,
you.
No, wallah, la, la, wallah. Wallahi, we're all striving. May Allah guide us all, Ya Rabb. May Allah guide us all, Ya Rabb. La, la, la. But seek the Creator. If you are in that you know, domain. If you are thinking about it, don't. It has devastating consequences in this world and in the hereafter.
Three quick points, especially for the Muslim youth who are listening. Be proud of you being a Muslim. Islam is the best faith. This is the only faith Allah has given to humanity. So be proud to be a Muslim. Secondly, really important, that educate yourself about this topic. There are some halal things, there are some haram things. So these are all the haram things, the people, what they are doing. Just because there is a pressure from your family and your friends and your social media, always think, what does Islam say about the topic? Always align yourself. Always have the frame of reference, the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And last important thing is, not only knowing what is right and wrong, but act upon, become activist. Become an activist for the social change. And that's when, inshallah, you will get the best reward here, and inshallah, the highest place in paradise. So we have a mission, we have a, you know, many good things that we should be doing in the society. So join forces with the good-hearted, good-minded people. Inshallah, Allah would be on our side.
Ameen.
Thank you both, Dr. Sabil and Dr. Karim Abu Zaid. Thank you very much for helping us to tackle this topic. Inshallah, this could be a benefit so many more people out there.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you tune in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.